Welcome to Speaking Out for the Blind. I'm Brian McKellen. Want to read your favorite books or newspapers but can't see them in print? Want to listen to your favorite radio dramas but have no access to an old-time radio station? We'll look no further than to your accessible audio reading service. The reading services can be heard over the phone or through the turn of a radio dial. Here to talk about these offerings and how they work is Joseph Hamilton. He's the director of Access News at the Society for the Blind in Sacramento, California. Welcome, Joseph.
Thank you.
So, let's talk a little bit about audio reading services. How do they help the blind receive the information they need to live well-rounded lives?
So, in the situation that you're looking at, one of the largest barriers amongst blind and low-vision people would be the access to information, namely, conventional print material. So being able to obtain one of the devices that is used by radio reading services in certain parts of the country, or by being able to pick up your cordless or corded telephone and dialing in and making menu selections to listen to a particular publication of interest or sometimes practical use, you're giving an opportunity for people to, number one, have access to information that they wouldn't have access to otherwise, but also to be able to become more organized, to be more independent, and to have the choice of doing those particular things.
That's great. I was wondering, just how did these audio reading services get their start? Could you please give us a little history?
Well, back in the 1980s, some of the city societies, I know, like where I come from in Detroit, Michigan, also in Kansas, in Lawrence, Kansas, and in Sacramento here as well, there was a desire to give information, predominantly local information, to individuals who were homebound. And so what they decided to do was to deliver the information through radio waves. So you could get in contact with the organization who was in charge of the program in your particular area, and they would give you the equipment needed, which was just sort of like a little transistor radio. The radio would then transmit the information that was being offered. They'd set up a program schedule, and the information would come through. So Thursday mornings from 10 to noon, tune in for the Sacramento News and Review. So that's how this whole process began. It was more or less geared for homebound or invalid individuals, and then just sort of blossomed because they realized that, well, this is also an opportunity for low vision and blind people to be able to access this material. And so they started forming partnerships with local libraries for the physically handicapped, and began making more of these radios and the programming available to individuals because they found that the need was out there. So that's sort of how they got started. Now, what happened as the demand sort of began to grow, and also the philosophy changed. So you have a situation where, hey, you know, blind and low vision people, they're not just sitting around the house all day. You know, certainly some are maybe homebound, but many others are exploring the educational and employment goals of, you know, of your everyday society. And so the libraries and other organizations across, and especially in Kansas, where many of these phone-based information resources began, started to make it available by telephone. So it'd be a more mobile service. And then you saw NFB Newsline sort of leading the way as far as information being disseminated through the telephone and giving people an opportunity not to have to be at a specific time or a specific place at that specific time. And that gave them the opportunity then to have it available on their schedule as opposed to trying to change their lives around to fit into a particular radio schedule.
Cool. So it's kind of like sort of like the cable on-demand service of yesteryear, right?
Yeah, I mean, to a certain extent, obviously, in the situation with on-demand, it's, you know, there's multiple ways to get the information. And in this case, you know, internet, of course, is a huge boom for information and accessibility. You know, so many things online today are accessible. But where these services come in and play such an important role is that in order to surf the internet, just the basic opportunity to get on a computer and surf around to CNN.com or Newsweek.com or what have you, you have to have the working knowledge of the software that's necessary. Maybe it's Windowize, maybe it's JAWS, maybe it's Zoom Tech. And there's not a lot of people who can access those programs right off the bat. So you're looking at a situation where many times newly blinded or newly rehabilitated individuals are taking full advantage of these reader-based services through the telephone, because no matter what your degree of sight loss and no matter what sort of road you're on with regards to coping with that sight loss, you're still able to pick up the telephone, dial in, or you're still able to exercise the dexterity to turn the radio dial and take advantage of the information that's available.
Amazing. So what are the types of programs that are offered on audio reading services?
Well, you know, the major ones that I'm familiar with that I can share with you, and I'm sure that you have some avid listeners out there that will scream at their computers as we're doing this interview, and don't forget to identify. But just so for a few, okay, there's some basic things out there. There's a service called Tell Me. It's a phone-based information resource, again, giving you access to things like ABC News bites, sports information, weather, you can get travel information. This is a service also that works with some internet programs, so they call from any city in America and get, you know, a taxi cab ordered to your location. So that's a very useful service. There's still some radio reading services across the country where you can go to the local organizing agency, get the material, and then just follow the basic schedule. There's the Kansas City Reader Service. There's another one, I believe, in Florida. And then there's also one in Arizona. I'm sure there's others across the country as well, but those are the ones I specifically was able to turn up in my research. Of course, you have the NFB Newsline, which is extremely popular. It is an electronic-based news resource, again, through the telephone. All of your major city newspapers are made available every day, and you listen just with the eloquent speech, and it's pretty amazing because I think they have over 275 newspapers from across the country, and they're now starting to get into magazines, and even some of the major big box store advertising circulars are being posted there as well. And then you have the telephone readers that are sort of in different places. There's one in Kansas. There's also two here in California. My Access News program is the representative of Northern California. You have the telephone reader, which is run by the Braille Institute down in Los Angeles and spanning Southern California. So, and then, of course, audio reading services are probably available through your library as well with the digital books and some other programs. You know, Access News is sort of a partnership. It's a literacy program that is supported by the California Braille and Talking Book Library, charged with making conventional print material available. And then the unique thing about our program is that we use live voice humans, so volunteers who have worked in voiceover, maybe they were actors back in the day, or just public figures, public speaking, and they now come in and read the material that we make available. And depending on what you're looking for or how frequently you're looking for it, any of the services that are available can really do a great job in bridging that gap between not being able to access the material and then being able to get some or full access to what you're looking for.
Okay, cool. So how do you acquire the rights to air these programs?
So for most of the publications that you're dealing with on a daily, weekly, monthly basis, we are providing the content in an accessible format. So we don't violate any of the copyright laws because we're not looking to profit from it. So we will obtain a subscription from the publisher, the distributor, and then our volunteers will read the articles and make them available to blind, low vision, dyslexic individuals. So we keep ourselves within the scope by, you know, not putting up copywritten material, by making sure that we give credence to the magazine, the magazine article, and the article's author. So the old-time radio programs that are offered through the Access News program have all been things that were researched and downloaded from what we call the public domain, which means that they were released online, and there's no governance as to, you know, where they can be played or displayed. And so we put them in our library. You can call the phone service and access them. And it's, again, a service that is making those things accessible, because not every person has the ability to go on the internet to get a hold of the material. So, and of course, many of, and all, if not all of those subscribers to the Access News program don't have the ability to read the magazines in print.
Interesting. So how do you hire these volunteers? How do you hire these volunteers to read?
Sure. We do quite a few different recruitment drives in Sacramento. We partner with a few different organizations, the Retired Volunteer Seniors of Sacramento. We do many things with the universities, colleges, and high schools in the city, in California, and probably many other states as well. It's a mandate that students have to earn about 25 hours a semester of community service, and so it really works well for some of the younger readers. We also have partnered with a few of the voiceover studios in Sacramento. A gentleman by the name of Ray Nakamoto has been instrumental in sending us some of our best readers here to the Access News program, because reading aloud is not an easy thing to do. It's a skill that takes practice. And so giving those folks an opportunity to practice their skill by volunteering their time with our Access News program helps to get them more job ready as they get more involved in the voiceover process. And then word of mouth, you know, lots of times we have volunteers who bring in other volunteers. It's a great thing because it's flexible. You know, I mean, anyone could participate in reading for the Access News program. I have a reader from Florida, a reader from New York, readers that I've worked with in this Northern California region that I've never even met in person, just because it's easy to do through the telephone or creating files on their computer and then submitting them to me so I can place them into our database. So it's a lot of fun to work with people both in person and, you know, in virtual reality in order to get all the information put up that we can.
So, but don't they also use computer voices as well to have they used computer voices as substitutes for these readers?
Now, when you're looking at something that's doing a large amount of material, so the best example I can give you is the NFB Newsline, because they do, like I said, about 270 newspapers a day. So the sheer manpower that it would take to actually put that sort of publication list on the air would be amazing. And so they do just straight downloads and then allow for the electronic voice to read the material. With Access News, the way we sort of advertise our services is we say selected articles from so many different publications. I think we offer currently about 159 different publications on our service. Not any given one of them would be 100% from cover to cover, but the more volunteers we have, the more material we're able to produce. And so in our case, you know, if we wanted to take every one of those 159 publications and make them available every time an issue was published, we would have to go to electronic voice. But my research in the 4 years that I've been doing this is that one of the things that makes our program fairly unique and also very popular amongst the users of the service is that it is human beings that are reading it. So you're getting a chance to have a conversation in some ways with a person, although they're not live on the phone reading to you at the moment, but it's more relaxing. And, you know, think about this. If you work and you work with a computer, you're using Window Eyes, JAWS, NVDA, any of the screen reading software. So you have that electronic voice in your ear for 8 hours a day. And you go home and you want to find out what's new in Sports Illustrated. It's kind of nice to be able to get a human being bringing that information to life instead of that annoying robotic voice that you dealt with all day.
and it's better to, and the good thing about a human being actually using a mic and reading it to you, the blind listener, is that you feel like the reader is right there next to you, actually reading the newspaper, reading the magazine, telling you even that as a child, that bedtime story you always wanted to hear.
And it's really the way I try to promote it to my readers here at the program as well. Is, you know, imagine yourself with your feet up on the coffee table, your favorite glass of wine or coffee, whatever your, you know, vice maybe is, and just conversationally relating the information from your favorite magazine. Of course, we try to put them on projects that they enjoy. You know, somebody who really enjoys reading The Economist magazine is going to do a pretty good job reading The Economist magazine, as opposed to somebody who really enjoys reading, you know, say People magazine. Here, read this Economist. You know, it's not going to be as much fun or as interesting to them. And then, you know, they're also always wanting to get better. You know, I mean, our listener group here with Access News is very quiet when it comes to the feedback about the readers who produce materials for the program. And they, the readers, are always, you know, who's listening and who knows? Who says I'm doing a good job? Who says I'm doing a bad job? So, you know, it's really great because they've decided they want to make the time to, you know, commit to service. I mean, volunteering is about commitment and it's about, you know, unpaid work. And our group of readers is fantastic because they not only come and do it, but they're not, you know, I hate to use the term, you know, buying their way into heaven. In some instances, you know, volunteers do those types of things, but our people are very committed to putting out the best product they can. They realize that, you know, it may not reach millions of people, but the opportunity to have the choice, which is the core of independence for us, here at the agency that I work for, is, you know, the most important thing. Choosing to do something, having the ability then to do it, is the basis of independence, and so Access News feeds right into that.
Absolutely, absolutely. So when the readers record the latest news in the Sacramento Bee, for instance, which I can tell our listeners is Sacramento's major newspaper, so they will record a part of the newspaper for probably, say, 30 minutes, and then they will save the file, and then do they send the file to you through a special Dropbox or email message, or how's that done?
Well, there's two ways that people can do it for the Access News program. The first way is direct recording into the database. So from any landline telephone, you can call into the service, punch in the BAT code that gives you the opportunity to record, and then just by selecting the category and article numbers that you want to create, you can produce material that's directly live in the system. So the minute that it's been recorded, it's available for listeners to hear. So for the Sacramento Bee, I have one lady who records the Our Region section, sort of like the metro section of our newspaper here. And Monday and Friday, she will record from office or home. She'll put the 12 or 13 articles directly into the database. So she starts at 9 in the morning. She finishes at 10:15. And at each time she finishes an article from the section, it's available for individual to hear right away. But also I have some people who will record like the sports section or the front page news, and they'll produce the material and either email it to me as an attachment, or they'll use Dropbox, just something that we've really started to get into here in 2012 is the file sharing with the Dropbox. It's fantastic because it gives somebody an opportunity to produce files and send them to me without having to go through an upload process, because it's just a copy and paste kind of thing. And you know, and they'll put the files in the Dropbox, and then it's up to me to stay on top of the Dropbox, move those files, convert them into the format that our system will play, and then they're available in the database. So it can be sometimes a lag. So for instance, the B is offered on Newsline, and it's also, you know, available through some other, you know, online, and then through our phone service. We don't get a chance to cover a ton of it because of how much manpower it would take to do a whole newspaper on a daily basis. We have currently about 68 readers for the Access News program. And, you know, some of them do specific projects. Some of them are just freelancers, and they'll just read whatever's clever when they get a chance to come in or call in on the phone. And so, you know, we've not, you know, had a opportunity to recruit 7 people to, you know, handle the newspaper one person every other day. So it's just kind of a, like I said, selected article. Some days we get more of the B, some days we don't get any of the B. It just depends. Because we happen to refer people a lot of times to Newsline for their newspapers because they can do such a more comprehensive job. And so we tend to focus on practical things like the sales ads from the newspaper. There are grocery stores that come out every Wednesday and the drug stores that come out every Sunday. We make sure to get those done in their entirety every week. And then, you know, a few other things. And then again, some folks read from home, some folks read from our studio, some folks record on their computers. So it just depends on their particular preferred method of producing the material.
That's good. That's good. What have listeners said about the reader services, specifically yours at the Society for the Blind in Sacramento?
Well, I mean, you know, they appreciate the service being available. Some have, you know, wished for more professional sound quality. Again, you know, the one drawback about having a phone-based information resource is that there's only so good you can make it sound before it's just a telephone playing back in a recording. You know, so it's, you know, to have somebody have like a high-def microphone and put in all this extra sound check and sound quality work is tough, because when it's at the end of the day, it's going to come through your phone as good as your phone is going to play it. So many of the listeners are just glad to have the service. They're glad to be able to identify, especially the practical things like the sales ads, and then of course they love the old time radio show, the library that we have up. For others who get locked in on a particular local publication, you know, what they say is, you know, thank God for those readers. I'm so glad that they're consistent. I'm so glad they try to do the best they can recording the material. And, you know, I really make a point of trying to get my readers familiar with the process of Access News, because if they needed to rely on a service like Access News, how would they want it to sound? How much extraneous, you know, stuff would they want to have to deal with while trying to just get the basic facts out of a publication? And, you know, so many of them are glad to make sure that they cut out things like throat clearing and dogs barking and side conversations and things like that, so you can just get what you call in to get. We just want to hear Sacramento Bee. We just want to hear the Sacramento Business Journal. We don't want anything else, nobody's opinion or editorializing of the material. And so a lot of times, you know, they're just glad to have access to it, and they're glad that the readers do as good a job as they can. And I always encourage them to say, you know, hey, if you feel like a reader could do better, or you hear a reader on the system that you really like, and you wish that they would read your publication, let me know. I remember when I was in college, you know, we used to use some of the recordings for the blind and dyslexic, now under a new name. And I thought to myself, you know, if I could get some of those NLS readers to read my textbooks, man, I would be a lot more engaged in the material. So it's really a work in progress with regards to building that bridge between those subscribers of the service, those blind and low vision individuals that are listening to what we're putting out there, and the readers themselves, who are mostly in Sacramento but some other places, who want to know that the material they're putting out there is being listened to, is being enjoyed, is being used. And so that's a tough process, especially when you're dealing with our brand, because the Access News service itself doesn't have like a mailbox feature. So unfortunately, you can't, it's not like listening to a voicemail message and then leaving a message after that saying, hey, good job, Bill. I really am grateful that you did that New Yorker article, and it was fabulous. Or, man, you put me to sleep. I really wish you had more energy and more up-tempo. You could read a little faster. You know, those little tweaks that I'm sure as somebody's listening to an article, they think, oh, man, I really like to be able to tell them. By the time maybe their Access News session is finished and then they're ready to hang up, there's no way for them to leave that message, and so it sort of goes by the wayside. So we're putting together some surveys to try to get more involvement of the subscribers and trying to let us know if our reader service is, you know, on par, if they give it a 1 out of 10 or a 10 out of 10.
And do you know of any future plans for these audio reading services, including yours?
Well, everybody's now starting to go with the online streams. You know, it's the wave of the future, so that as people get more knowledgeable about computer technology, they'll be able to go into the online database and just stream the articles from a particular magazine. Heck, so many of the printed material, so much of the printed material that sort of was the basis for the reading services is getting now streamed online and put up. That's the big wave of the future as far as it goes. It's trying to allow for people to kind of get Access News on the go. It's, you know, one of the things we're looking at is having a place where you can go and download our information, still live voice human beings recording it, so that it's doesn't lose its unique touch. But, you know, you got a Victor Stream or a BookSense DS or maybe just even an iPhone or an Android phone, you'd be able to download the material, put it right on your phone, and then take it on the go with you if you're on the bus or on the in the grocery store. Maybe you want to download the ad from your local drugstore. When you go into the drugstore, you'll have it right there at your fingertips to be able to know what's on sale, what coupons you can use. So that's really the wave of the future as I see it, is, you know, getting more into the accessible mobile technology and away from some of the home-based, you know, sitting around with your telephone pressed to your ear and listening to the material.
Anything else you'd like to add?
No, just that, you know, I really am, I'm a 20th century, you know, blind individual. I grew up with computers and you know, Braille notes, and some of the accessible technology, of course, is always leveling the playing field. But I can always put in a plug for my Access News program and tell anyone out there that even when you go to your grocery store's website, a lot of time it's very graphical. It's not super easy to get through. And so please keep in mind a program like Access News to take advantage. It's a lot of fun. You know, we get support from the Braille and Talking Book Library. They think the service is useful, and the more folks we can get to sign up and use our services and enjoy them, the more future we'll have with these kinds of programs. The less engaged people are, then the more likely it would be that they would start redirecting the funds elsewhere. And you never want to put yourself in a position where you're going to lose a program that's very useful.
Well, okay, Joseph, we're running out of time, but thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks, Brian. Have a great day.
That's all for today, Speaking Out for the Blind. Thanks for listening, and remember to speak out.